The Lord's Way to Temporal Salvation, Elder Marion G. Romney, Marion G. Romney, Conference Report, April 1968, pages 113-116. My beloved brothers and sisters and friends, I have chosen to speak a few words this morning about the Lord's Way to Temporal Salvation. I pray that you will join with me in a prayer, particularly you who do not belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because what I say will not mean anything to you unless you have the Spirit of the Lord or desire it, but heard and obeyed. These words will bring you peace in this life and eternal life in the world to come, permanence of God's power. Recently, after reviewing the frustrations encountered in our search for permanent peace, an editorial in the U.S. News and World Report concluded with these words, basically, there is only one permanence we can all accept, it is the permanence of a God-governed world, for the power of God is alone permanent. Obedience to His laws is the road to a lasting solution of man's problems. This is a true and commendable statement as far as it goes. It would be more enlightening, however, if it contained a definitive statement of the specific laws of God which, if obeyed, would bring a lasting solution of man's problems and thereby establish permanent peace. In these remarks I shall identify the first of these laws and consider with you the importance of understanding and obeying them. I can think of no more important theme, because if men are not speedily brought to understand these basic laws and obey them, our civilization will terminate in ruin. The scriptures, history, and current events all testify to this lamentable conclusion. Prophecies envisioning our day. I call your attention to the following quotations from the scriptures. Isaiah, envisioning our day, declared, "The land shall be utterly emptied, and utterly spoiled," and then, as if in retrospect, he lamented, "Therefore hath a curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate, therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." The resurrected Savior himself said, "It shall come to pass, saith the Father, that, whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, such as they have not heard." As late as 1832, the Lord declared through the prophet Joseph Smith, "I, the Almighty, have laid my hands upon the nations, to scourge them for their wickedness, and plagues shall go forth, and they shall not be taken from the earth, until all shall know me, who remain, even from the least unto the greatest." President George Albert Smith, speaking from this stand in 1950, said, "It will not be long until calamities will overtake the human family unless there is speedy repentance. It will not be long before those who are scattered over the face of the earth by millions will die like flies because of what will come." President McKay, in October Conference 1964, added, "Men may yearn for peace, cry for peace, and work for peace, but there will be no peace until they follow the path pointed out by the living Christ." Teachings of History. As to the teachings of history, Dr. John Lord says, "The world has witnessed many powerful empires, empires which have passed away, and left not a rack behind. What remains of the antediluvian world? Not even a spike of Noah's Ark. What remains of Nineveh, of Babylon, of Thebes, of Tyre, of Carthage, those great centers of wealth and power? What remains of Roman greatness? What is the simple story of all the ages?" Then he answers, "Industry, wealth, corruption, decay, and ruin. What conservative power has been strong enough to arrest the ruin of the nations of antiquity?" He concludes, "The answer is obvious. No conservative power, which the nations of antiquity would apply, was strong enough to arrest their ruin. Our path today, I am persuaded that today we are treading the path those nations trod. We have been industrious. We have become wealthy. We are going through a period of corruption and decay. Around the corner we shall encounter ruin if we continue our present course." Admittedly, this is not an inspiring forecast. I make it not because I like it but because I know that it is true, that it is imperative that we face it and do something about it. I make it also for the reason that I know that there is something we can do about it. I further know that for us there is, as there was for the nations of antiquity, but one way in which we can obtain the wisdom to solve our problems and avert the impending ruin, and that way is to learn and implement the laws which the Lord Himself has prescribed to guide men through to an inspired solution of their problems, to permanent peace. This way He has revealed, inspired solution. He revealed it first to Adam. He taught and exemplified it while He was in the flesh. Peter announced the cornerstone of it when to the rulers of the Jews, who demanded of him and John to know by what power, or by what name they had healed the lame man, he said, "Come by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Believers associate this scripture with salvation beyond the grave, and properly so. My message to you today, however, is that it applies with equal force to men's temporal affairs. The first step in that way is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, he said. But, it is said, if belief in Christ is the way, why is peace so elusive in the Western world where people profess belief in Christ? The answer is simple, professing is not enough. Men must accept him for what he in fact is, the very Son of God, man's Redeemer. They must have sufficient faith in him to take upon themselves his name in the manner he prescribed. Specifically, the believer must repent of his sins, that is, bring his conduct in harmony with Christ's teachings, enter into a covenant with God, that he is willing to take upon himself the name of Jesus Christ and always remember him and keep his commandments at all times and in all things and in all places. This covenant he must solemnize by being baptized. All who, through faith in Christ, conform with these requirements receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, way to permanent peace. The foregoing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism by immersion for the remission of sins, and the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost are the laws of God which man must obey in order to obtain permanent peace. When men do obey them, they receive two things that enable them to solve their problems: a change of heart, and divine guidance. To receive the Holy Ghost is to be born of the Spirit in the context of Christ's statement to Nicodemus that except a man be born of the Spirit as well as of the water, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The function of the Holy Ghost is to guide men in the way of truth and peace. Jesus referred to him as the Spirit of truth when he said to his disciples, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will shew you things to come." The Holy Ghost is a personage of Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. His wisdom, like God's, is infinite. To receive his companionship is to be led into all truth. People who walk in the light of his guidance act with an unerring certitude. They do not get into the troubles the world is in today. Followed in apostolic church, the above outline procedure was well known and followed in the apostolic church. When the Pentecostal crowd, moved by the apostles' powerful witness, cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's ready answer was, "Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And when Paul found certain baptized disciples who had not heard about the Holy Ghost, he taught them the true doctrine of Christ, and then he baptized them again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, and prophesied. Because men, during the dark ages, strayed from these ordinances and broke their covenants, they lost the gift of the Holy Ghost. In doing so they lost the true understanding of these plain and simple teachings of the gospel of Christ, including the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Since then men have been and now are walking in darkness of their own wisdom, true gospel restored. This they need not do any longer, because the true gospel with all its pristine simplicity and power has been restored. Knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, the Lord, beginning in 1820, again revealed it. In 1830 he organized his church, which he later named the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He endowed it with his priesthood and charged the bearers thereof to teach his gospel and administer its saving ordinances, including baptizing by immersion for the remission of sins and the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. During the Restoration, the Lord revealed the principles and procedures which, if implemented, would solve all the problems which so disturb the peoples of the earth today: economic problems, moral problems, social problems, and political problems. In restoring the gift of the Holy Ghost, he made available the power which so transforms the nature of man that they desire to and do implement these revealed principles and practices. I testify to you that this power is in the earth, that the authority to confer it upon all who will qualify for it is here. Urgency of message. I plead with you, every one of you, not to dismiss lightly this message, that it be known, understood, and accepted is of such urgency that God himself, with his divine Son, made a visit to this earth in this dispensation, and sent other heavenly beings, to reveal it for our temporal as well as for our spiritual salvation. And so I repeat and testify to you that the road to a lasting solution of men's problems is for men to take upon themselves the name of Christ, in the manner prescribed by him. And I further testify that the way one can do this is to have faith in Christ, repent and be baptized by immersion, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost at the hands of a duly authorized member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am aware that to some this may appear to be a presumptuous statement, but it must be made because it is true. And we who know that it is true are under obligation to declare it. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Glorious day approaches. He purposes that the earth shall rest and that its inhabitants shall dwell in peace. Such a glorious day approaches. It is even now at our doors. The righteousness which will bring it in and sustain it shall come in one of two ways, as a result of the predicted destruction of the wicked, or by men's repenting and taking upon themselves in the prescribed manner the name of Jesus Christ, the only name which shall be given under heaven, whereby salvation shall come unto the children of man. God grant men repentance, and give to us who bear this witness strength to match our responsibility. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.